Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. You know, I love doing the living works of God. God's work is alive. And every time we obey the Holy Spirit, every single action, everything we do in Him, in His name, when we act in obedience to the guidance of God, we bring another part of His will to the earth. We introduce humanity, all mankind, to another aspect of His wisdom. Continual obedience makes a big difference. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, technically, because they asked Him how to pray, and He gave them a model prayer. Well, within it, He said, pray that it be on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. Ephesians chapter 4. It says that He gave all the different types of offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the upbuilding of the body of Christ till all are one. That we be not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It has always been God's will for man to bring heaven on earth. It started in Genesis after He made man. He gave him restored the earth and put Adam in it. And he made him out of the dust of the ground. And He put him eastward in the Garden of Eden. Planted a garden eastward in Eden and put the man in it. Now, this gave him an example. And the word said that God put him there. So he may have had an aerial view of the land. He saw what was not, then he saw what should be. Now, if he did have an aerial view, which I believe he did, he saw the bad lands, the untouched lands, the land that he would have to fix. And then he saw what God fixed. Now, with Jesus Christ, He came and He set order first. He taught us things in life. He taught us the way it should be. And people who gave Him the most trouble were religious people. The people that sat in Moses' seat. The Sanhedrin Council and the Pharisees, Sadducees. They were the people that everybody looked to. They set a false standard. He came and preached life, and that more abundantly. He provided relationship between God and man. He grabbed God by one hand and man by the other and joined them too. He washed us in His own blood. He gave us His example. He gave us the truth. And with that, the meaning of life. And we're still teaching what He taught. He taught a word of mouth doctrine. And the gospel spread word of mouth. Word of mouth. And it's still being preached. I'm preaching it now. You're preaching it. And even when you go to church and listen to the preacher and you're not preaching, and you go out in life and you treat people right, you do the things of God. That's the highest form of preaching. So Satan is very nervous and offended because he can't match what God can do in you. So when you live the light of God's word, he's in a struggle because he got to come up with greater deception to pull people away from it. The life of God is so attractive. People are drawn to it. So the enemy tries to, he speaks evil of that which is good. Just like in Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 2, verse 4. The way of God is, it's evil spoken of. And people don't, he bullied people away from the gospel. And then the preachers that would preach the truth, he get them to look at the people. Well, see, if they would just look to God, if they would look to His word, to look to Him, Their eye would be single and their whole body would be full of light, and there'd be no darkness and nothing to pull them away from the truth. But see, faith looks to God. That's why we need to, by all means, stay in faith. Pride looks within. If I can't conceive it, it can't happen. If I don't believe it, it's not true. That's pride. If I've never seen it before, it don't exist. That's pride. There's so much of God's word that you haven't seen, that I haven't seen. But faith looks to God. And we have an open door into all the knowledge of God. As we can receive it, we can have it. But fear looks to man. What will others think? They won't come to church. What will I do? How will I pay the bills? They won't tithe. And most of the time, it's not true. If you just preach the truth and stand your ground, the people will get stronger and they'll stand their ground. And you're afraid of what might happen. See, fear has no foundation. It's just a lie from the pit. Satan can't get you to stop. He has to bully you into it. He has to bluff you. You have to fear something. You have to worry about something and lose the strength. You have to stop believing in what's giving you the life you have. You have to stop believing God's word and the parts that make you strong. And you, he'll say, you don't feel like reading that word today. Listen to you. You know, your flesh don't. You need a break. Everybody need a break. God, go watch TV. See, he's seductive in his thoughts. And the flesh is the weakest link. That'll listen to him. And an unrenewed mind will too. But we have to fill our hearts with the word of God. And that, my friend, is not labor. That's a blessing. The things that I've learned from the Lord, the knowledge that he's given me, they are businessmen. If they could value these things, they would pay top dollar to understand these things. People go to all kinds of seminars just to hear something from somebody that they look to. If they listen, if there's a motivational speaker that has helped people bring businesses, turn businesses around, dying business, bring them to life, people will fly from the other side of the country and sometimes the other side of the world to listen to their wisdom so that they can go back and do better than they had before. They can do better than they did before. But the life of God is so much greater. And the Lord said, freely it's been given to you, freely give. But people don't receive it because they don't value it, and they don't value it because they don't hang around the Lord long enough to find out what his word can truly do in their life. But Jesus came and he demonstrated what the life of God could do. And he did it. Now remember, he is the word of God, like we taught in the previous broadcast. He's the word of God. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. One of his names is Emmanuel. That's true. But with that, he was stripped. He came to us on our level. He came as a baby. He had to learn everything. He had to learn who he was in God. He had to learn the fact that he was the word. He listened to the prophets. He did. See, God is foundational. People don't understand that about him. He won the victory he won. He did it as a man. He did it with the same authority you do things with. I mean, every miracle he did it as a man. He is the Son of God. He is the Word of God. But everything he did, all the miracles he worked, he did it as a man. You cannot find one miracle that God did himself after he made Adam in the Bible. He always used a man to do it. He told Adam, Actually, he was talking to the serpent when he talked about the seed of woman. And Adam heard it and believed it, because that was the way Adam would be saved. And the enemy was in action trying to figure out who the seed of woman was. We covered that in previous broadcasts. Many wars was fought. It's even safe to say every war was fought, because the enemy was afraid of who the seed of woman was. Even in faraway lands, people would take over, because Satan, you know, people was motivated to conquer and kill, because some people had a heart to know God. And if they had the word, whoever the enemy was afraid of, there was always a war started to kill people who love God. But that's a whole nother subject. God loves us and he cares about us. And Satan knows the fact that that's true. So he tries to get us to stop doing the things that make us strong. And he tries to see the things of God as a labor against us. But it's not a labor against us. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. When I go in the Lord's presence, it's because that's where I want to be. When I ask him questions, it's because I want to learn him. Sometimes I want to watch TV, but I would rather talk to the Lord. And I turn the TV off and talk to him. Especially if he's trying to tell me something. Now, I like to sit. I like to relax. That's one way I like good movies. And I try to watch things that will inspire me, help me think outside the box, motivate me to fight. You know, I like, there are certain movies I like. I don't like any kind of movie. I don't like debauchery. But I like things that make me appreciate the life that God has given me. But the life of God is so much greater than the things of this world. Now, the Lord loves us. And like I said, Jesus, he's foundational. He did everything he did it as a man. And the enemy sends thousands of demons. And, you know, there are many more demons on the earth than people. And that's where the persuasion of evil comes from. But the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. If we believe on Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is sent to us to live in our spirit and guide us into all truth. He's not here to do our work for us. He's here to guide us in all truth and do what we can't do. See, that the man we're sized, this is where the flesh is. We bring the Spirit of God to our reality, the flesh world. We speak the life of God in this world, in the physical world. And the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. Now, he manages, he distributes the offices. He distributes the anointing. He governs it. And it multiplied through obedience, faithful obedience. Now, these are things to remember. He governs the office that we receive. And you know, the word of God said, don't even, it's an honorable thing to desire to be a bishop or an apostle. But it's better for you to receive what God gives you. You'll be more effective doing what God gives you. A lot of people that ask to be a bishop, if God made them a bishop or an apostle, they wouldn't even like it. They wouldn't. Because it you have to have, I don't know, God designed us for different things. And he thinks of everything. So if he called you to be a teacher, which is last of the five, that doesn't mean it's worse than the five. That, you know, that's than the other four offices. It's just necessary. And you can be a faithful teacher and do a greater work than a faithful apostle. If you push the envelope, if you follow God in it. Remember, teachers train apostles. Apostles train teachers. So do prophets. Pastors help govern apostles. Apostles help govern pastors. Evangelists get people saved, and some of them happen to be apostles. Apostles preach and evangelists get saved. Now, when you think about it the way it is, the prophet is subject to the prophet. The office you have doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. You're just fulfilling another need. The apostle just happened to be the first one mentioned. He can do he can function in all the other offices, but he won't stay there. He has his own needs to fulfill. But the other callings, they can stay in place the duration of their pilgrimage on earth. A pastor don't have to uproot and go somewhere else and preach, but the apostle might. Now, do you really want that? And then with that, you'll have the joy for it. If you have the joy for it, you'll want to do it. And then the Lord will, if you yield to him enough, he'll bless you with the spouse that will help you. See, when you let God build a house, it'll be built right. It won't be all backwards. But we try to put our own two cents in and get in trouble. You can't be an apostle and drag the wrong woman all over the earth. You can't be an evangelist and you marry a woman and don't want to leave the neighborhood. You have to yield your life to God. I heard the testimony of Billy Graham. He was going to marry a lady, and the Lord told him to call that marriage off. And he blessed him to marry the wife that he married. And they were a fit. See, when you're anointed, things have to be in place. Are you willing to do that? But if you are willing to do those things, you're going to see a greater turn in your life. You're going to see the wonders of God, and you're going to have more joy. When the Lord wants you to do something and he give you the grace to do it, and there's a joy to come with it, there's a burning desire deep on the inside. And if you don't do it, it'll be there, and you'll be wrestling the rest of your life against that joy. And all the things you thought you wanted to do, it won't even seem fun anymore compared to the joy that's before you. Jesus did everything as a man, and the Lord blessed him. Now, the Lord put something on my heart. Jesus was governed by he was guided by the Holy Spirit in all that he did. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Now watch verse 6. This is very important. "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Verse 7. "And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Verses 6 through 9 is the end game. This is the result after Jesus reigns on the earth. Everything will be put in order by the council of the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you will make earth just like heaven. You will change the facts on the ground where you are. You will introduce the life of God that will spread and grow just like a seed that develops into greater things. Even after you die, the legacy you leave will remain and prosper in the hearts of those who love God. The scriptures I just read didn't happen overnight in one day. It's happening. Jesus has left the scene over 2,000 years ago. This is the year 2017. And the Gentile calendar, or the Roman calendar, it's got 5 more days than the Jewish calendar. So we're well over the mark. And it's time for the Lord to come back. And he's going to keep his word, and he will be back. And it's immediate. He told me my return is imminent. The end game is verses 6 through 9. This is what's going to happen as a result of the faithfulness of Jesus. Everything he did on earth, he did it as a man would do it, with the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Now, what the Lord put on my heart was to go back and visit some of the things he did and show you how he operated under the counsel of the Lord. In the first part, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, think about this for a moment. The Spirit of the Lord resting upon you. This speaks of agreement, of your faithfulness. The Holy Spirit is able to rest on you, and you're not grieving him. Now, he's with us until the day of redemption. He's going to be with us forever. He lives in our spirit. And I thank God that he does. I remember what it's like before he came. And I like my life a million times better since the Holy Spirit is here. I would rather have the Holy Spirit living in me than all the things, the possessions of this world. Nothing compares to my walk with God. That is just that valuable. And a million times is a heap. I remember what it was like before I got saved. I know what it's like to be saved. And I also know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit upon you. But when the Holy Spirit came and lived in my spirit, I'm a new man. I was washed in the blood. He came and lived in me. 6 months later, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I know what it's like to live with only the Holy Spirit within, and then I found out what it's like to have the Holy Spirit upon, and both of them are great. Now, when the Holy Spirit rested on Jesus, John the Baptist saw he came in the form of a dove. Now, there are times in our lives that the Holy Spirit will light on us, and we don't grieve him. We do whatever he was wanting us to do, and we rejoice. And then we go on down the road, just like Peter did when Jesus asked him, who people say that I am? He said, and they said different ones. And then Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And then before the chapter was over, Jesus told him that he was going to die. And he said, be it far from you, Lord. And then Jesus said to the same man that just honored him, get behind me, Satan. Now, and that grieved the Holy Spirit. See, we can honor the Holy Spirit and grieve him before the day is over. And all this happened before an hour was over. Now, the dialogue with Peter. Same moment. Until we learn who God is, and when we yield ourselves to the Lord, then the Holy Spirit can rest on us. He can trust us. You know, somebody might ask, how do you know you're trusting God? If you're doing what he say, do. And then they might say, well, how do you really know that you trust God? And that's when God trusts you. When he honors you with his presence, his joy, his peace. When he give you assignments and you fulfill them. You can feel the Lord rest on you. And you don't do things to grieve him anymore. You don't have to do things to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's tradition. Cold religion does that. But when you step out of cold religion into the fire of the Lord, when you're on fire for the Lord, you don't grieve him anymore. And he can rest on you. Now, Jesus is in a state where he's not grieving the Holy Spirit. John saw that he rested on him like a dove, and a dove is easily startled. They are some. A dove is a wonderful, is a courageous creature. If they come around you, that's because you can be trusted. If they come around you, you can be trusted. And the Holy Spirit, he came on Jesus just like a dove would do. And then he rested on, he remained. John the Baptist saw this. And that was his sign that this was the Son of God. He remained on it. A lot of good men of God, the Holy Spirit don't rest on them. They grieve him so much, he don't rest on them. And they wrestle with him. And they argue with him. And they complain. And what God do in their life is very limited. And they can't be chosen for what God really want to do. So we have to honor his presence and value his presence and not throw it away. And not walk out of his presence. See, he's always with us to the end of the earth, just like he said. Now, with that in mind, that doesn't mean he rests on you. He rests on you when you're willing and obedient, and then he can rest on you. He can trust you. He can come around. You'll obey him. And you won't let anything stop that relationship. You won't let Satan progress anymore in your life. Because he's resting on you. Because he trusts you. You can live like this. But I don't know everything. I know. But you can learn everything. There's no limit to what you can't learn. And there's no limit to how much you can grow. Never believe that you can't learn the ways of God. And what you practice, you keep. Now, keep in mind, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now, watch what happens in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1 says, then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The same Holy Spirit that's resting on him is guiding him to go to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This means he knows what's about to happen. Look at obedient Jesus, verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. He did something about the problem. He prepared. He prepared his heart. He fasted. He bridled his body. See, a fast, whether it's Jesus or man, fasting causes God's voice to be louder than the voice of your flesh. He was perfectly obedient in going to that wilderness like the Holy Spirit guided him to. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He obeyed the counsel of the Holy Spirit and went where he was supposed to be. And he made history. He spoke the word of God. He defended the faith. The spirit of might. He was very hungry. The spirit of might. He spoke the word and grew stronger. He spoke the knowledge of the Lord in wisdom. See, this is how we win as well. We don't take things off the devil. Verse 5, "Then the devil taking him up into a holy city, setteth him on the pinnacle of a temple, saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Verse 7, "Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was steadfast and unmovable, and he abounded in the ways of the Lord. He operated according to the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and he was still at rest, and the Holy Spirit was still at rest on him." I'm out of time, but we'll pick up here next time.